Scripture today that I'm reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 23 through 29. This is the Message version. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Don't I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? So we read two pieces of scripture this morning from very different parts of the Bible. We read a passage from Hebrews talking about all of the things that people of the Old Testament did by faith, and sharing with us the importance of faith as we run the race set before us. And we read this passage from Jeremiah, which is a warning to false prophets who preach not the word of God, but their dreams that they've had, and pass it off as the word of God. For me, these passages interacted in a very visceral way, and so I have come to you this morning to tell you that when your faith is based on man-made truth, it's like you're eating moldy cake. Now, you may wonder if I have any actual experience with eating moldy cake, and I do. Which is how I knew that this is what I should talk about. So, earlier this summer when I graduated from William & Mary, my Aunt Barbara decided that she was going to throw me a party. Now, the cake was not moldy at the party. The cake was beautiful at the party, and if you look at your bulletin, it is on the cover of the bulletin. It was a gorgeous cake, and you'll notice that it is rather large. So there was lots of cake to take home. And we took it home, and we had it for a week. And I had a piece of that cake every day for a week. And the party was on a Sunday, and so when the Saturday came, I had come home probably around 10 a.m., and I decided I wanted a piece of that cake for breakfast. So I cut myself a large piece. It was an edge piece. It was beautiful. And I went and sat down by my father in our living room, and I started eating. I took one bite, and I said, this cake tastes kind of funny. But I didn't think about it. So I took another bite. And I said, no, there's something wrong with this. And I looked at the cake, and it was covered in mold. Which I told my dad, and he did not believe me. So I had to leave the room for a moment because it was so gross. And I kept saying, the cake is moldy, the cake is moldy. He didn't believe me until finally I convinced him to get up, and we cut the top layer of icing off of the cake, and it was just covered in mold. Which I'm convinced is because we did not put the cake in the refrigerator. But that's my moldy cake story. Anyway, I did not really know what mold was until I went to talk about this, so I looked it up. And we all know what mold is. It's the stuff that grows on things, and it's gross. But I didn't really know why it was bad. So when you look at mold, you can see the spores that grow on the top of it. What you can't see is all of the roots that grow back into whatever food it is. And apparently these roots, when the mold is poisonous, will release all of the toxins into the food. So my dad had told me that I could cut all of the edges off of the cake and just eat the middle. But I don't think I could have. because of these roots. Anyway, if I had just put the cake in the fridge, I wouldn't have this story, but I also would not have this message to share with you today. You see, I think that each of our faiths is like this cake, and the Bible is like the refrigerator. So we talk about the faith cake. We take ingredients from the fridge, from God's word, and from the pantry, our human lives that aren't so refrigerated, and we work hard to create a faith. Because if we pretend that faith is not work, we're kidding ourselves. And then we have this Bible fridge where we need to keep our faith stored to avoid growing mold on it. And if we don't put it back in that fridge, we risk growing mold. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what mold is on the Christian faith. I think mold is man-made answers and truths that we create here on earth to make pieces of the Bible make sense to us, that we then confuse as being part of God's truth. Because smart people who I am headed to study with at Yale, have a lot of theories about the Bible. And if I'm perfectly honest with you all, I have always thought that theorizing about these things was kind of a waste of time. And I'm off to go study it for a while. But I think sometimes smart people get so caught up in their own heads that they forget that smart people are not smarter than God. And I would like to illustrate this with a story from my week. So if you follow me on Facebook and you follow Ryan Matschke on Facebook, you saw that I went down to visit her for her birthday, which was Thursday, and she wanted to go out for karaoke for her birthday. So we went, and there was a man running karaoke. His name was Andrew. Not our Andrew. And he was very loud and just very obnoxious. And when I walked in, I decided that I did not like him very much. But he ran karaoke the whole night, and Ryan clearly enjoyed his company. She knew him, and they talked a lot. And when the bar was closing down at midnight, he came up and was talking to her because it was her birthday. And he introduced himself to me and asked me why I was there because he'd never seen me before. So I told him how it was my last week to go visit her and that I was headed to Yale to start grad school. And he asked me what I was studying, and I said that I was studying divinity. And then he said, "Oh my gosh, no way, I studied divinity at Duke." So this led to him coming with us to our next destination, and I had a two-hour conversation with him about divinity school and his life as an atheist chaplain.
Gosh, that sounds like fun.
Which should sound like an oxymoron. Good. So we were talking, and he was very interested in debating whether or not God was real. So I engaged him in this, and I realized he didn't really want to debate whether or not God was real. He wanted to debate whether or not God was worth worshiping. It's a very different conversation. And so I asked him why he was so against it, and he told me the story about the birth of his daughter. So this man had a daughter who was born perfectly healthy, perfectly beautiful. He was married to his wife. His wife had the child. And he said that he looked at that baby and he got so caught up in the idea of original sin. And he did not believe that this perfect, innocent child could be born with sin. And so he started to fall away. And then he read the story of Abraham and Isaac when God asks Abraham to sacrifice him. And he said, "No God who I want to worship would ever ask that of a parent." And I reflected on what he said, I did not think that he really wanted me to respond to him there, so I directed him to a book that I am a fan of. The Bible, but also something else. And I realized that he got so caught up in these man-made ideas of original sin that he forgot the piece where God makes everything and says it's good, and then he makes man and he says it is very good. And that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us, to take away our sins. And it made me sad, because this man, who was clearly a smart man, I mean, he went to Duke. It's no Yale, but... He's clearly a smart man, and he got so caught up in his human understanding of things and his worldly way of seeing things that he missed it. He just missed it. And so I'm telling you, we have to remain rooted in God's word in order to maintain a healthy Christian faith. We have to put our faith cake in the Bible fridge and keep it away from mold. Which means that, like Will told us all, we have to read the Bible, even the parts that don't make sense. Like the parts about Moab. Which I'm sure makes sense if you read the rest of it. And I want to be clear, we can have theories. I think that they're an important part of making the faith make sense to each of us as a person, but those same theories are not going to be shared among everyone. And we can have theories, but those theories are not what we teach others. They're not what I preach to you from this pulpit. They're not what Pastor Klein shares with us every Sunday. We can have theories, but they can't blind us from what the Bible tells us. You still have to read that. You can't read it once and decide that this is what you believe about everything and never look at it again, because I've heard Elaine Hank tell me so many times, every time that she reads the Bible, it's different. And I believe that. We can have theories, but my worry is that we, and not we as a church, but we as all Christians, have gotten so caught up in theorizing about the Bible and theorizing about the different things that it could mean and the different ways we can see it or read it that we have strayed from the point of God's word. For my Yale videos, they sent me a bunch of videos I have to watch before I get there. And one of the professors I'm really excited about studying under speaks in his video about the idea of reading the Bible to know the Bible and about reading the Bible to know God. And I think that we, as a religion, have gotten very caught up in reading the Bible to know the Bible. It tells us to meditate on the word, not to memorize it. And sure, memorizing it can be a piece of the meditation, but your goal should not be to be able to tell me who Moab is at the drop of a hat, and to recount all of the stories from the Old Testament. You read that Bible to know God. And I was really shown that by this book I read while I was in Europe. And it's called Surprised by Hope. It's written by N.T. Wright, who's a smart professor at a smart person school. Who spoke the whole book about the way that we have gotten so caught up in Jesus dying for our personal sins that we have missed the wider picture of what's happening. And I don't have time in my sermon to tell you the wider picture of what's happening, but I can tell you that if you think Jesus dying for your personal sins is the end-all, be-all message of the Bible, you should open it again, because it's probably too dusty on your shelf. So, I want to close this by saying that if your cake is moldy, like mine was, I have good news. God's fridge doesn't just prevent mold, it will also remove it. So, throw your faith in the fridge, and if you take it out and let it sit, make sure that you look before you eat.